From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
Welcome to the program. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance studio in Lincoln, just blocks from the state capitol. We've got some important updates on today's show from our state legislature on issues affecting life and freedom in education. But first, we have to say happy birthday to the state of Nebraska. Last Thursday marked Nebraska's 151st birthday, and we actually got some good news to go along with that. The annual U.S. News and World Report Best Rankings list came out, and they ranked Nebraska at number 7, the 7th best state in the country. And this actually marks a jump of 6 spots from last year when Nebraska came in at 13th. And this, again, is from a study by the U.S. News and World Report, who every year compiles the best states rankings from 8 different categories, ranging from economy to crime and corrections, jobs, education, and so on. And Nebraska scored highly in these major categories: 9th in education, 9th in infrastructure, and 11th in fiscal stability, as well as ranking 5th in mental health, 5th in high school graduation rate, and 4th in unemployment rate, high labor force participation rate, and housing affordability, as well as 1st in power grid reliability. So there you have it, Nebraska, the 7th best state in the country, according to the U.S. News and World annual Best States ranking. But I think for those who choose to live and work here and get to know the good citizens of Nebraska and our values, they know there's not a better place to live, work, and raise a family. And that's what we're working to protect every day at Nebraska Family Alliance and our work down at the state legislature to make sure that family values are protected, so that marriages and families thrive, life is cherished, and religious freedom flourishes. And we have breaking news from the state legislature. We just found out last week that the pro-life Title X initiative in our state budget from the governor has remained intact in the state budget bill and will be advanced from our appropriations committee. This is the crucial first step to ensuring that taxpayer dollars are not subsidizing the abortion industry in Nebraska. The Title X language is this year's major pro-life initiative, and our state appropriations committee has been, for the last several weeks, crafting a state budget bill that starts as a recommendation by the governor. And included in that recommendation by the governor was new language that changes how the state of Nebraska distributes Title X grant money, which are federal dollars that we get every year for health clinics and family planning services. And currently, abortion providers are the number one recipient of those funds. This new language would ensure that those who are performing, assisting with, or counseling in favor of abortions would not be eligible to receive these funds unless they are truly separate and independent from abortion activity. This is a sound policy that simply provides much-needed clarity and accountability in the Title X program to protect the integrity of that program and, importantly, hardworking Nebraskans' taxpayer dollars. So, in order for this to happen, it has to be approved by the state legislature, and the state budget bill is a huge bill that deals with a huge number of different issues and policies and programs that people care deeply about. And so this Title X language is just a few lines of a very long bill. But in order for it to even have the opportunity to be debated and approved by the full legislature and go into effect, it has to first make it out of committee. And thankfully, this is the case. This process has been months in the making, but thanks to pro-life votes and efforts from 6 of the 9 Appropriations Committee members, this pro-life Title X initiative will now remain intact and have a chance to pass into law by the full legislature. This is thanks to State Senators Watermeyer, Keene, Clements, McDonnell, Hickelman, and Stinner, who all voted to keep that Title X language in the state budget bill despite attempts to remove it or place it in an entirely separate bill, which would be much more challenging to pass. But they have stood strong. They have backed this language, kept it in the budget, and now the budget that the Appropriations Committee is sending to the full legislature will include the governor's pro-life Title X initiative to ensure that taxpayer dollars are not supporting the abortion industry in Nebraska. And this is really an essential policy change that I think is long overdue, because when Congress first initiated the Title X grant program, it clearly expressed that these funds were not to be used in programs where abortion is a method of family planning. However, over the years, millions of taxpayer dollars have been distributed to abortion clinics, including in Nebraska, where Planned Parenthood is the number one recipient of these funds. And this is all about providing basic and necessary accountability. No Title X provider loses access to funds as long as they are separate from the abortion industry. And this is important to remember, because pro-choice activists will say otherwise. But the same amount of government funds will remain available for women and men who use Title X services. So here's what we can expect moving forward. The Title X language is remaining in the state budget bill. This will now go to the floor for debate and approval by the entire legislature. And we expect that debate to start next week, where it is certain to be met by fierce opposition by pro-choice senators. And they are willing to filibuster and try and hold up the entire budget over this one provision, just providing some clarity and accountability in the Title X program. The Appropriations Committee held a separate hearing specifically on this Title X provision back in February a few weeks ago, and there has been broad support expressed for this language both by advocacy groups and a large number of state senators and elected officials who agree this is needed policy. And I had State Senator John Keene, who was on the Appropriations Committee, on the show a couple weeks ago, and he summarized this really well. He said that no one wants to restrict access or eliminate a provider. The provision would ensure absolute separation, clarity, and integrity of the programs. That's what this is about, and making sure that tax dollars are not subsidizing abortion in Nebraska. This is something that Nebraska Family Alliance and other pro-life groups have been advocating for very strongly. This would be a huge victory for the pro-life movement. Many other states have taken action to ensure that the tax dollars are not supporting abortion, and Nebraska has not been able to do that yet. So this is a big opportunity to get a pro-life victory that came up one vote short last year. We think the votes are there this time around, and thankfully we will have that opportunity again thanks to the pro-life efforts of six senators on the Appropriations Committee who voted to keep that language in the state budget bill and send it to the full legislature, where they will begin debating it next week. We will continue to keep everyone updated and informed on this issue, so be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, where you can get all of this information on Title X, what it is, how it works, and why it matters. And while you're there, make sure that you sign up for the Nebraska Family Alliance e-network so you get action alerts and updates straight to your inbox. We'll be sending an alert soon telling people when is the appropriate time to contact your state senator and how to get that information and what you can say to help make sure our state representatives know that this is an issue people care deeply about, and they want them to make sure that this goes through. This is an issue that senators need to hear from their constituents on, so we'll be mobilizing people to contact their representative and empower people with information. The other side will be launching an all-out attack on this, trying to thwart this pro-life effort. This is a big moment for the pro-life movement in Nebraska. We're asking people to step up and help support this and help advance the cause for life in our state. This is our opportunity now in Nebraska to support efforts to protect the lives of unborn children. That's why Nebraska Family Alliance is committed to influencing policy. because we are a pro-life state. Our budget should reflect those values, as the governor has been saying over and over again. And this is our opportunity to do that. So please be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org to get all this information, sign up for emails to stay up to date, and we'll keep you updated here on Capital Connection as well as this continues to progress. More news from the Nebraska legislature. We have now reached day 36 of this year's 60-day working session, meaning there are just 24 days left for the legislature to conduct business and debate legislation. One bill that got a lot of attention this past week involved providing lawyers for every juvenile court case. The legislation would require that counties provide defense attorneys to all juvenile cases in Nebraska. And this bill ran into some opposition over costs. How would the counties pay for this? As well as concerns about parental rights. So that bill was tabled after 3 hours of debate, and it remains unclear if that legislation will have a chance to return later this year or not. We've also reached an important marker in this year's session, and that committee hearings are now over for the year. Typically, the first several weeks of the session, the different legislative committees meet in the afternoons to conduct legislative hearings. Every bill must be given a public hearing, and the legislature has now moved to all-day debate, meaning committee hearings have ended, and the legislature now meets as a full body every day, which allows them to spend more time working through the bills as a full legislature. But one of the last committee hearings this year was on a very important bill that has drawn some attention. The General Affairs Committee held a public hearing last Monday on LB 747 from Senator Thibodeau of Omaha, and the bill is known as the Bottle Club Loophole Bill. This is a piece of legislation that would define what a bottle club is and require that they be licensed and regulated, just like other bars and nightclubs who require a liquor license. And this is significant for a number of reasons. One, most people don't know what a bottle club is or that they exist in Nebraska. A bottle club, or they're also commonly referred to as bring your own beer clubs, are just that, a club where they don't sell alcohol, but they encourage patrons to bring their own. They can bring as much alcohol in as they want and drink it there. And currently, these clubs do not require a liquor license from the state, which means they don't have to follow any of the liquor laws or rules that you have to abide by in order to have a liquor license under the Nebraska Liquor Control Act. And that raises a number of health and safety concerns. For example, they don't follow the same closing hours. Most bars have to close at 2. These clubs do not. They also allow minors in. You don't have to be 21 to enter. So although they are letting minors, anyone 18 and over, into the club, they bar police officers from entering, actually. So police officers, anyone from who's a member of law enforcement can't be a member at the club, but minors can come in. There's concerns about both underage drinking and also overconsumption, because like other bars or nightclubs where people are buying alcohol, not bringing their own, you can cut someone off when they've had too much to drink. Whereas here, people are bringing in as much alcohol as they want and staying much later, and no one can tell them to stop drinking. And so really the fundamental question behind this bill is, do bottle clubs pose the same health and safety risks as other bars and nightclubs? And that's what the legislature is going to have to decide. And it's important to note that for nearly 50 years, the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission actually did regulate these types of clubs for the reasons that I just talked about. However, these clubs, just this sort of business model, went away in the late 1990s and early 2000s. There weren't any of these clubs in Nebraska. So in 2004, the state legislature removed bottle clubs from state statute, which I think unintentionally created this loophole where now these clubs are starting to emerge in Omaha and across the state of Nebraska. And What is the most unfortunate thing about this loophole is that there are municipal laws that prohibit nude entertainment where alcohol is served. So that's why Omaha doesn't have strip clubs, because you can't have nude entertainment if you have a liquor license. And what bottle clubs are doing is not only offering fully nude dancers because they don't have a liquor license, they actually allow contact between the patrons and the fully nude dancers. So this raises a whole new spectrum of concerns regarding sexual exploitation. So this has basically created sort of an end-around way of bringing strip clubs in to Omaha and other places across the state where these bottle clubs are at. And this is something the legislature is going to have to address. I don't think it can continue to be ignored when there's as serious concerns arising from these clubs with virtually no oversight or accountability right now, potentially at the risk of very vulnerable women who could be being taken advantage of inside of these clubs. Again, what we're seeing with these clubs is they are operating exactly like a bar or nightclub, except they're exempt from common sense health and safety regulations. And in addition, they're permitting entrance to minors. They can feature fully nude dancing and actually permit patrons to make contact with the dancers. So the bill had broad support at the public hearing. Nebraska Family Alliance is supporting this bill. The Omaha City Council is in favor of it, and the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission is in favor. And we've heard from concerned citizens as well who are worried about these types of clubs and the activity taking place there. The bill is being sponsored by State Senator Thibodeau from Omaha, and Senator Thibodeau said that she was bringing the bill over concerns about the potential for underage and excessive drinking, and that the removal of bottle clubs from being under the control of the Liquor Commission in 2004 was not intended for the reemergence of these clubs that we're seeing now. They didn't understand that a loophole was being created that would allow for these types of clubs to start popping up like they are currently. And ultimately, she said and pointed to the reality that there's a reason that we hold bars and nightclubs to high standards, and she just wants to ensure that these establishments, the bottle clubs, are held to those same standards of conduct as any bar or tavern or nightclub, so that those operating just like bars and nightclubs are treated in the same fashion. The committee took no immediate action on that bill, so we will keep you updated moving forward with what happens with that legislation and more. Please visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Check out the bill tracker page where you can get information and updates on the most important legislation affecting you, your family, and the issues that you care about most. And one of those issues is enacting education freedom in Nebraska. There is a bill in the Nebraska legislature that has been prioritized, LB 295, to create the Opportunity Scholarship Act and bring more freedom and choice in education. That bill is expected to be debated by the full legislature in the coming days and will mark perhaps the first time in at least the last 15 years that the state legislature has debated the issue of choice in education. Nebraska remains one of the last states in the entire country. I believe we're one of only five or six states that have no school choice options. And this is something that a lot of good people have been working on for a long time because they care about kids and they care about families and ensuring that parents have more control over their child's education than the government. Because parents have the right to choose a school for their children which corresponds to their own convictions and should have true liberty in their choice of schools. And when you're required to go to a certain school based on where you live, and even if you have open enrollment and you can get into another public school, for low and middle income families, they don't really have a choice because they can't afford, based on their income, to send their children to the school of their choice. And that's why this policy and choice in education in general is important, because it helps lift the financial burdens that do prevent many families from being able to choose the education that best suits their child's needs. And it very well could be that that education is their local public school, but for some families, it might not be, because we know not every child learns the same way. Every single child in our state and across the country deserves to go to a school that best suits his or her unique needs, regardless of their family's income. That's what LB 295, the Opportunity Scholarships Act, is about. And this is so essential. This bill allows for more private, not public funds, for scholarships to attend private school, which too many otherwise cannot afford. The bill creates a state income tax credit for donations to scholarship-granting organizations, so nonprofits that turn nearly all of their revenue into private school scholarships for families and children, and then participating schools must be approved or accredited by the state and follow those requirements. So this is a tax credit, a dollar-for-dollar reduction of one's tax liability, to help send more private dollars to scholarship-granting organizations, which in turn turns into more scholarships for kids who need them. So I really can't stress enough that this bill steers only private, not public funds to students in need of financial assistance to attend a private or parochial school. This means that legislation like this actually saves state tax dollars by slowing the amount of state aid needed for public schools, because if a recipient transfers from public to private school, it leaves more resources for the state to spend on fewer students. This would be an important victory for families in Nebraska, because right now, too many parents in our state lack true freedom of education choice. Many can't afford to pay both taxes in support of local government schools and tuition for a private school. This bill, LB 295, will give low- and middle-income families privately funded scholarships to choose a private education for their child if that best suits their needs and values as a family. This is all about creating more opportunities for low-income students without taking anything away from anyone else. And if this bill passes, Nebraska will join 18 other states with similar laws, which have altogether helped states save more than $1.8 billion. This is an important opportunity to increase educational choice for middle and low-income families. The simple fact is, parents should have more control over their children's education than the government. But currently, financial burdens prevent many families from pursuing the school that would best suit their child's individual needs. For example, we know that last year, the Children's Scholarship Fund of Omaha had to turn away 635 applications due to lack of scholarship funds. This would help increase those funds by incentivizing private donations. Freedom in education matters. Let parents decide. They know their children best. They know what school would best suit their needs and the values and education that they want their child to receive. And a family's zip code and their income should not determine the quality of education they receive. You only get one shot to educate a child, and it is crucial that more families have true freedom and choice in education. And right now, too many families in Nebraska don't. So this is a key piece of legislation, LB 295, expected to be scheduled for debate by the full legislature by the end of this week or early next week. As always, for more information on this bill and how you can help create freedom and choice in education for Nebraska families, visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. While you're there, be sure to join our e-network to stay up to date and receive important updates and alerts on legislation and issues that affect family, freedom, and life. Nebraska Family Alliance is working hard every day to ensure your values are represented at the state capitol. And we would be honored to have your support and partner with us to help restore the foundation of our state and our country, the family. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us next week. And remember, the salvation of the state is the watchfulness of the citizen. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.